Okay, why don't we get started here, folks? Again, I'm Eric Forza, we're the Houghton County Administrator. We are looking to give everybody an update as to what has happened this week regarding the flood here in Houghton County. And we'll start with Emergency Services Coordinator Chris Van Arsdale.
Hello. So we have moved into the recovery stage and have started that recovery process. We're going to hear from a bunch of different people about what's going on throughout the county. We've had a huge outpouring of support, not only locally from a lot of volunteers, but also from out of the community. And it's been extremely helpful, but there is a lot of work to do yet. We do still need volunteers. If anyone is available or anyone's interested, there's a volunteer registration center set up. That number is 906-233-6621. We've also been in contact with the state in regards to additional resources that could be supplied to our area in terms of assisting with our recovery. And those, some of those requests have already been fulfilled, others are in the process. We'll talk specifically about some of the other details as we go through each agency. There are still a lot of roads closed, there are still a lot of washouts. A lot have been filled. Donation centers are still set up both in Houghton and in Calumet. The D Stadium in Houghton and the Calumet Coliseum. Donations are being accepted. Also, if anyone has needs, food, water, tools, that kind of thing, they are open for people to pick those up as well. We are in the process of getting together teams to do some evaluation of some of the stream beds and the watershed to make sure that where the new stream beds are stable and make sure they aren't going to impact our roads and systems again in the future or in the near future while we're getting to our full recovery. We're also looking at having sanitary sewers and storm sewers checked not only for their integrity, but also making sure things aren't blocked. Again, for our immediate functionality, we're concerned that we need to be sure that those are intact. Damage assessment, our preliminary damage assessment, is going to wrap up today. All of that will be compiled and submitted to the state before the end of the day. Today is our deadline. And for more of the specifics as we go around, we'll go through each agency and then we'll take questions at the end. So we'll start with the National Guard, Major Lanzi.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, good afternoon. I'm Major Lucas Lanzi from the Michigan National Guard, pushed up here from Lansing. I got 69 citizen soldiers that deployed up here starting Wednesday. And right now, I'm at full strength with 69 soldiers. We have lots of heavy equipment. We've been working up in the Hubble area and multiple areas off of Canal Road, looking at Old Mill Hill, and we just broke ground over on Coal Creek. So there's major washouts out there. That's our priority currently. So I just ask, you know, we have lots of dump trucks, a lot of stuff moving on these roads. So the roads have road closed signs, but I understand that citizens still live on there. So, you know, we're gonna be cautious. We're gonna keep our speed down. But I'd caution just you know, right away with our equipment and the local contractors also on ground. So it's dangerous road. If you have any issues, you can bring that up through the ICS system. I work for the incident commander. We're here to support him, and we're here as long as he needs us. Thank you.
Thank you. And public health, Ray Sharp.
Right now, Western UP Health Department is focusing on preventing foodborne and waterborne illnesses. So we're reviewing plans and giving guidance to temporary food services that are supplying meals to the relief workers. And we're also posting homeowner information on our website about discarding contaminated food. Surface water sampling is ongoing on a rotating basis at more than 20 public beaches around the Western UP. And we've been coming in with high bacterial counts everywhere, not just in Houghton County. And that supports the need for continued beach closures. So we've just put out a blanket advisory for Lake Superior and inland waters of the Western UP because of the runoff from the rains, even if there were areas that weren't directly affected by sewage system discharges. And we are sensitive to the desire of the public to get back in the water, and certainly before the 4th of July if possible. So we're going to continue doing our sampling. We get results in 18 hours. And when we get clean beaches, we're going to push that information out to reopen those. It's primarily E. coli, fecal coliform bacteria. So it's not something you want to swim or boat or canoe or paddleboard in. The water tests for private wells that may have been flooded in Houghton County, we're providing those bottles free of charge over at the health department, so you won't have the usual $17 fee, so homeowners can determine whether their private drinking water is safe.
Thank you. And the DNR, Brian Minich.
So our incident management team, I'm Brian Minich, the incident commander for our incident management team, which is stationed out of La Quincy Franklin Fire Hall currently. Our team right now is currently assessing the damage to our trail system within Houghton County, which covers the Frieda grade, the Hancock to Calumet grade, the Lake Linden grade, and the Bill Nichols grade from basically Houghton Canal Road down to Twin Lakes. And then also the Chassel to Houghton grade, we have people in place right now doing the assessment for the deadline today for that cost. Future needs, phase two we're looking at being preventing further damage to the trail system, which would be we're closing the trails currently to keep people out of them. We're trying to keep the inlets open to prevent the further damage of the trails, and looking at mitigating what damage has been done also within that. So phase three would be the restoration, and I guess we're working on that phase two and three as we speak, I guess. So any further questions, feel free to contact us anytime.
Like I say, are they all closed currently as far as?
All Houghton County trails are closed, yes. Yeah, and we're, like I say, we're barricading them for safety concerns, so we're making sure people can't access them trails as we speak, so. Thank you.
Thanks. And townships, Brian Cadwell.
I'm Brian Cadwell, supervisor of Torch Lake Township. We're a small township. I'd just like to say a few words about the volunteer effort that's taking place in Hubble. Ripley, I've seen. To date, this week, we've had 2,600 hours of volunteer labor in Hubble alone. That was just people who registered at the Hubble Fire Hall. It's been fantastic. They've worked hard. They've accomplished a lot that would otherwise be undone. And the small townships really rely on the volunteer effort, so I would encourage people to realize that even though the initial shock has worn off, the weather's been nice the past few days, the problem still needs to be solved. So if those volunteers can keep on coming, we'll put you to work. And one thing to remember, if you do volunteer, please stop and register either at the main center in Houghton. We need to keep track of who's out there, and you'll be assigned work tasks for certain areas. Or if you come directly to the Hubble Fire Hall, we'll register you there, send you off somewhere. We've been mucking out basements, cleaning basements, bleaching basements, because we've got a lot of bad stuff that came down with that water. Mold is starting to form with the warm weather, and we're trying to take care of all that. But if you're out volunteering, remember, please be safe. There's also a lot of equipment out running around, and safety is number one. Nobody needs to get hurt helping with the problem. So thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, and volunteers, John Stone.
So my name is John Stone. I wear a lot of hats, as many of the people up here do. I'm the Region 8 Healthcare Coalition Coordinator for all 15 counties of the UP. I'm also on the Stanton Fire Department, and I run the EMS program for Michigan Tech. I'm just really humbled by the outpouring of volunteer effort. We've had people come from downstate all the way across the UP, and Wisconsin, Ohio. So just really amazing. People have asked, what kind of volunteer help do we still need? basically all kinds of help. We need people that can do inventorying and offloading of semi-trucks and trailers as they come up into the D Stadium, just as we receive supplies. We need general labor, people out to muck out basements, move material, help people get contaminated furniture out of their house. And then finally, it's like first was debris removal and mud removal, and now cleaning and sanitizing their basements and spaces so that we don't have a mold explosion and make those living spaces unsafe. We have people that are cooking for our volunteers and for those who impact in the impacted communities. And then we also have people that are doing equipment operation. On the heavy equipment side, we are still looking for help for those who want to come in and volunteer. We're looking for skidsters, dump trailers, dump trucks, mini excavators. The Road Commission, DOT, the townships are doing an awesome job on repairing the roads. But in some of these home areas and small backyards, we have so much material that it just can't be moved by hand. So we're trying to coordinate that effort. If there are people available that can donate that, we're asking that we come as equipment operators. We don't owner operators. We're not asking for people to donate their equipment and let someone else operate it. We'd rather have you operate your own equipment. So we don't have a need for operators unless you come with your own equipment. And on my side, I'm really just dealing with the volunteer effort. If they come through the volunteer reception center, which is located at 1114 College Ave, it's the Evangel Church. If they come through the volunteer side, there is no compensation for that right now. It's just volunteer labor with equipment. We're also very grateful that Team Rubicon recently showed up, and they're joining our volunteer logistical support and administration effort. So they bring a great asset. We ask if anyone needs support in the community, they call 211 and tell us what kind of help they need, whether that be a basement cleaned out, debris removal. 211 is the mechanism to get help for your home. We're focusing our effort on the M26 corridor, M203, Stanton Township, and Chassel Township. We're just very grateful, again, for the help, but we still do need help. We'll need help well into next week, so appreciate your support.
Can you just explain what Team Rubicon is? I don't even know.
Yep, so Team Rubicon is an organization that's mostly made up of veterans that have come back. They formed this group to help support communities during a time of disaster. They're coming in with a team of 25. They're highly skilled men and women with a military background. They handle logistics. They've got sawyers. They're doing assessments, their own assessments, to determine what they can do to support some homes. They're specifically targeting homes of folks who have special needs or veterans. But they're not excluding anyone. But they're really trying to find those who are in critical need of support. And it's just been really fabulous to work with them. They come with a great infrastructure, so we're grateful for their help. Thank you.
All right, Building Inspector Todd LaRue.
Hello, I'm the Houghton County Building Official, and one thing I want to make clear is I'm not part of the assessment team when I go out there. What I'm looking for and the phone calls I'll be getting as structures that have been heavily structurally damaged, and I'm checking them to make sure it's safe for our volunteers to go in there. When I post my sign, I post the sign is condemned, but it's a dangerous and unsafe, either the whole building or an area of that building. Until we get the qualified people in there to shore up that building and make sure that it's safe for the volunteers to go in there. So far we've had two that have foundation walls that have been pushed inside and the houses are just hanging. Those are the ones that, you know, the houses can be saved, but it needs to be supported and shored up before we send volunteers in there. But if anybody has anything of structural damage or that, feel free to give our office a call and I will make my way out there to take a look at it. Thank you, folks.
And roads, Kevin Haru.
I am Kevin Haru. I'm the County Highway Engineer. We're currently assessing our road systems also. We have done assessment on our entire local system. There's over 100 roads that were affected. That particular estimate was about $16.4 million. We're now moved over to our federal aid system, which is our primary roads. like your Chassel Painesdales, your Houghton Canal Road, the Airport Park Road, and et cetera, like that. We're preliminary review of those. Looks like it's going to be a similar amount of money. So we're just asking everyone to be patient with us. We're trying as quick as we can. We're working with other contractors, and we'll be working through the weekend. So, but we're trying to get all the roads open so people have a passageway, at least one way in, and that hasn't happened yet. So, and that's what we have for now.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
First, I want to say thank you for all of you. And I respect everyone who's doing work, especially Chris and Becca in that position. So I want to say I come to a lot of these meetings, and I know everyone's doing what they can. One of my questions is first of all, I want to comment on the volunteer effort. I have a suggestion because I worked for years for Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly. And there are a lot of people in the UP who are really tough sissy people and do it themselves, the neighbor's kitchen. But there are people who will sit at home with problems and try to solve them without coming out and getting resources, not even knowing where they are. So my suggestion is sometimes if people can actually physically help, they could drive literally into communities that have had problems, knocking door to door. Because having experience with elderly people, they will just put up with it and try to make do. And that's just community up here. People help each other, or they are really tough and try to tough it out and don't have nowhere to look. So even though you're putting the great word out, it's not going to get out to a lot of people. So that's one suggestion I have. Some volunteers have told me I want to help but I can't, but they could be driving someone or to knock on the door, so they could knock on the door and they could have information they could bring back to the center. So that's one suggestion I have. I've been Ripley, and I've been talking about this for a while, so probably most people know I'm at the base of the Ripley watershed, and the Michigan Tech ski hill fell down on us. Michigan Tech owns the majority of that watershed area that has the rubble from their ski hill. We have now volunteer groups with heavy equipment coming in, very willing to go up and shore that up. They came in this morning, they have sign-up forms for the landowners. We can't sign those, they're down in Ripley, the equipment's down there, and I don't know, is anyone here officially from Michigan Tech? Because I have not seen anyone at these meetings officially from Michigan Tech, but they own a whole watershed.
So if I can just interject, we have been in touch with them over the last couple of days, and there is a task force put together to put together the people that have done the two different studies that are involved to try and come to a resolution as to what will need to be done in terms of stability. So that is in progress.
Okay, and I did hear about that about an hour ago. My thing is there's people on the ground now, and I don't know when the next rain event comes, but I've actually personally hiked that falls almost every day since I moved there 6 years ago. And there's hill is sheared off. That rubble is all covering Ripley, including the roadways that we've all repaired or repairing. There is no way with any small rain event, even that things are not going to mudslide again, the whole thing's full of the debris.
So that's why we are having a geotechnical engineer take a look and tell us what their evaluation is, what their steps should be, and we will move forward with what we can as we get them all together.
Where is Michigan Tech?
We have been in contact with them.
Where have they had the meetings? I want to know where they are. And can someone from Michigan Tech come today?
We will continue to address that. Okay. Is there another question? Yes.
Sort of off of that, are there any plans if there are issues with subsequent rains?
So that's one of the reasons we're trying to make sure we get to all of the, say, sewer systems. We have the DEQ involved in the watershed evaluations because we know that at some point here it's going to rain again. And trying to make sure that those imminent areas that are of imminent flooding again due to rain are addressed before that. So that process is involving the DEQ, and they are here and are starting that evaluation process also. But there are a lot because we're trying to go the whole M26 corridor where we've had the flooding this week.
Could you or Kevin comment just on fundraising in general, and then how would people be able to start accessing donated funds if that is going to occur?
Sure. Kevin, do you want to talk about
I'm Kevin Storm, the Executive Director of the Portage Health Foundation. I know that there are several other groups, including the Keweenaw Foundation, Community Foundation, American Red Cross, Salvation Army, and other disaster reliefs that are collecting monies. I can't speak specifically to what they're doing or how they're going to disperse those funds. I know our foundation, we have, as of yesterday afternoon, we were pushing about $100,000 in donations. We have several other corporate sponsorships that are yet to come in. We have a benefit concert scheduled for next Thursday evening in Chassel at the Chassel Pavilion Park. And our foundation has taken three quick steps. First was to mobilize monies to make sure that John and his volunteer crews were equipped with the necessary hand tools and personal protective equipment. So as they were being assigned to locations, that they were actually able to go out with equipment, and that included hand tools, pumps, rakes, vacuums, all the whole thing. The second thing that we are doing, we have identified a furnace and water heater replacement program. We're asking that people be patient with us as well. We're working with a couple of the other community organizations to make sure that we're not redundant on some programs that already exist. We want to make sure that we fill the back of the gaps of those, but we will have financial assistance for homeowners for replacement of those items. And we're working on developing that program right now. And then the third area that we immediately identified and talking with families in the community was the need for some type of financial assistance to help get their homes back in order, whether that be through some site cleanup. More importantly, what we're concerned right now with is some of the long-term health factors, risk factors that Ray alluded to in making sure that those homes are going to be occupied and livable again. So we're working on developing a rebate program, and we're working with the crisis response team to do some damage assessment and understand what the scope of that is. So not only will we be deploying the monies that are coming in through donation, but we've also have already met to deploy and start looking at what we have in our operating budget, as well as shuffling some of our investments to make sure that those monies, if needed, are accessible. So we should have more information by the end of next week on some specifics of what we're doing. And again, we're just asking for people's patience. We know that there's a lot of stress and anxiety on how we're going to do this. But what we can guarantee and assure people is that there will be some financial assistance available.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
So it starts raining in two or three more days. What happened to me was we got up in the morning, it was fine. Our kids started back to Norfolk, and there's no road. Okay? I turned on the radio. We had church music, and it was 2 hours before the radio station. I'm old. I don't go on Facebook. This happens again. What can we expect from Houghton County officials? Where are we going to first hear about this problem?
So we will put it out over the radio, we will put it out over the TV stations, and we will put it out through our mass notification system that would address the mass notification system that will go out as a phone call, as a text, and as an email.
So you get a text on your phone?
You can sign up for a text on your phone. You can sign up for a phone call on your phone, on your cell phone or your landline, or you can sign up for an email, or all of them.
Where does she sign up?
Oh, so if you go to the Houghton County website, the page for the Office of Emergency Measures, there's a link you can click on to go to.
How are you handling? I am getting uptight here. How are you handling the people that don't have a website and that don't use a computer and that listen to the radio every morning to see what happens?
And
we finally started hearing stuff on the news. I expected our person from Houghton County to start telling us what was going on. So if it starts raining again, we have to wait for nothing on Saturday or Sunday because there's different stuff on, and we have to get a computer to tell us if there's a storm. Is that what you're saying to me?
No. Okay. What I'm saying is we put the message out through a variety of different media. The radio is one, email is another, texting is another, phone calls are another.
In other words, you could be waiting a long time. If you don't have it, that's fine.
The radio stations, or at least ours, were actually among the businesses that were flooded. We were on We had two stations that got up after 9 o'clock Sunday morning, and then the third was up around noon, 1 o'clock. We, just like everybody else, we had full water at our station, and it wiped out all of our stations. Our transmitter was without power. Our generator was underwater. To get those messages and be able to, we were on it, right, as quick as we possibly could, but we were hit too as well.
It was 2 hours that the radio station and I listened to it came on. And but we had already went up Airport Road, and there was blacktop all over and all kinds of holes. And we didn't know. We had to wait until then. And so what you're saying is, if you don't have a computer and you don't have a cell phone, you're going to have to wait, because radio stations on the weekend have different programs than they do during the week. And I'm asking you, I'm not telling you, I'm saying to you that we have a large amount of elderly people in this community. And I just thought that the minute something happened, not the minute, but the radio stations would start telling us. And so what you're saying to me is, you better get on that thing with the cell phone. And I turn my phone cell phone on out, so it's a good idea to keep my cell phone on all the time, eh? I'm just asking you.
I would say yes, it's a good idea to keep your cell phone on all the time. The first alert message went out, and I'd have to go back and look exactly, but about 5 a.m. on Sunday morning.
I talked earlier. 2:45 in the morning, cell phones went off, alerting to flash floods.
So.
What about the regular phones? Did they get a call too?
Yep, you can sign up for a regular phone call as well.
Okay. And that would be next.
We have about 250-ish residents that have signed up since November.
That would be nice to get that out to the community that doesn't include the computers. So, I mean, you get to be 80 and 90 and 93. I'm not 93. But those are the people that didn't know anything. And so we went door to door to let them know. I know I'm 40, but that's thankful.
Okay. Thank you.
And unless there's any other questions,
I know you guys are probably still calculating the damage assessment, but is there any chance we're going to get any kind of information or numbers on that today?
Our damage assessment has to be done by the end of the day today. We will have a number, but I'm not sure how late that will be.
Okay.
But yes, we will have
a
number.
Should I contact
to ask? Once we get that, we will put that out through our normal press release.